I want to thank those who are visiting with us in person, online, however you may have found us. We're grateful that you're joining us here today. You know, it is springtime. However, it sure doesn't feel like springtime, does it? At least those of us who are from Southern California, we got rain and cold weather all the time. I don't like the cold weather, but it is springtime. And spring means several things. We just celebrated Easter. Spring also means baseball season is back. Hallelujah. Spring break for students. Also, it means spring cleaning. Oh, we don't get a lot of hallelujahs for that right there, huh? Spring cleaning is the time in which we can have some spring cleaning. You know, spring cleaning, for those who don't know, it's a time where you thoroughly clean and get organized in the spring time. And it goes beyond just the regular chores, but involves some deep, thorough cleaning. You know, this time you start to polish, you start to scrub, you get in there and try to get your whole house clean. And I looked up and saw some of the origins, and so they're not quite sure where the term came from or the idea of it, because it is practiced throughout the globe. Some dated back to maybe possibly a connection to the Persian New Year. There's also a possible Jewish origin for spring cleaning, because ancient Jewish custom, they would have a time where they thoroughly cleaned the house in preparation for the Feast of Passover, which we know takes place in springtime. Or even the Catholic and Eastern Orthodox church faith traditions also have a time of their own spring cleaning, in which on the Thursday, called Maundy Thursday, the day before Good Friday, the Catholic Church decides to clean out the altar. Or the Eastern Orthodox Church on the first day of Lent, their calendar is a little different from the Catholic Church there. They usually do it on the first day of Lent, which happens to be on April 1st. And so we see this idea across the globe that when it's spring, hey, it's time to go ahead and do some cleaning. And not just, again, the regular cleaning that we may do on a consistent basis, but to really get in there and be ready, because we've had the winter, or maybe it's cold and dust and all these things pick up. And so it's a time for cleaning. And we know that this has really been a term that you can use just talking about getting our lives in order, right? Like, hey, man, I need some spring cleaning in my life, right? And so our lives, our hearts, our souls, and our faith can be like our homes and the residences where we need to have some time for some spring cleaning. A time where we look, because our lives can get a little messy, just like our house. There's going to be some dust that starts to accumulate, or we can start to hoard some things, and it's time to get some things in order. And so we're starting up a new sermon series today, in which we're calling Spring Cleaning Will Be Tending to the Soul. Let's go ahead and let's go to the Father in prayer. Father, we thank you so much that we get a chance, that as a family, we get a chance to reflect upon who you are, that we get a chance to remember you are a good Father, and that Jesus truly is the Lion of Judah, and that we get a chance to worship you. We get a chance to dig into your scriptures and allow you to minister to our souls. And God, I pray right now that your word may be spoken. I know I'm excited about what you have in store for the church as we delve into this idea of having our souls continually cleansed by you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. So first off, we're going to see that there is a need to clean. There is a need to clean. You know, this idea or this analogy of our souls, our hearts, our faith, even our bodies, and the connection between houses is throughout the scriptures, in particular in the New Testament. And I want us to look at this analogy in a couple of verses here in the New Testament. First off, Jesus in John chapter 14, he's promising his Holy Spirit to come into the lives of his disciples after his ascension. And so we read this passage, John 14, verse 23. Brothers and sisters, are you with me this morning? Amen. All right, it says, Jesus replied, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. Jesus says here that the Father and the Son, really in the form of the Holy Spirit, will make their dwelling inside of the hearts and lives and faith and souls of his followers. Those of us who are true Christians, it says, man, we get a chance to have God's Holy Spirit dwelling in us. And we have to be reminded, well, when does that happen? Most of us here in the congregation know, but let's get a quick refresher for those who don't know. When does this take place where the Holy Spirit makes his residence our souls? Let's read in Acts chapter 2. And this is the first time the gospel message is really preached. Jesus dying and resurrecting. And Peter and the other apostles, they preach this message about this gospel, this good news. And the people who hear it, some of them go, hey, well, what do we do with this good news? How do we respond to what you're telling us? And Jesus and Peter says this, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. And so we see here, Peter tells us that this promised Holy Spirit will come into the lives of his followers, of Jesus' followers, when we repent and get baptized. He takes residence in our beings. Now we're going to go on over to where Paul the Apostle, he's going to share this same sentiment and even give it a little bit of a twist that helps us understand just how special this is. And so over in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul, he's actually starting to address some sin that's taking place in the church and trying to help them understand the seriousness of it and the need to change from it and be a pure and holy people. And he's specifically dealing with sexual immorality at this point in the passage. And he says this in verse 19, do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. And so we see, again, this concept. It's weaved throughout the New Testament in just these couple of verses, and there are a couple of more that deal with this concept. But we see that our bodies are sacred homes, and in this instance, temples of worship for the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't know about you, but that's pretty wild to consider and to think about. This deep reality that God's like, hey, my mailing address is your soul. Where my spirit dwells is within you. And so when you think about the impact, the depth of this spiritual truth, and we think of this analogy, it makes me think and makes me ask the question, well, then how should my soul be looking and taken care of? If the Holy Spirit is living within me, his home is inside of me, how should my house be looking? You know, we used to, many of us, we're all familiar, when people are coming over, what do you tend to do? You start cleaning. That implies what? It wasn't clean before. When people are coming over, you're like, oh, it's time, we better start cleaning up. We had Gina Galassi. She came over and helped the girls bake some pies. They baked pies for the first time. So thank you, Gina. Really appreciate that. And so she came over, and the house was not up to par. So I'm like, man, we got to hurry up and clean up. You know what I'm saying? Like, I like Gina, but, man, I don't want her having to step over some clothes that we got hanging out because we did some laundry and we didn't put it away. Look, I'm just being honest. You know that's how your house is too, okay? And so we're like, all right, here we go. But every time, and we have people over at the house, you know, almost every, most days of the week. And so it's like, man, we got to make sure we're cleaning up, right? And most of you guys know Gary Torres. They used to help lead our teams, and he grew up spiritually and was raised in the church, but was a part of our Cal State Fullerton ministry, and now is over in our Spanish ministry. And Gary, those who have lived with Gary know that Gary is known for being clean. And so we used to help him and his wife in their marriage as they first got married. And when they would come over to our house every other week, and when we knew Gary was coming over, it wasn't just a regular cleaning. we got to some thorough cleaning, you know what I'm saying? We started feeling insecure, like, you know Gary's coming over. We got to make sure we get the scrubbing up in here. We can't just put stuff in the closet, you know what I'm saying? We better pull out that mop, you know what I'm saying? Because we knew, we were like, man, we wanted to. Yes, there was some insecurity. But just think, if God is coming into our souls, what should our homes be like? What should our spirits be like? How should our hearts and our faith be? And so we see what? We see the need to clean. And you know, our souls need to be cleaned thoroughly like our homes. Yes, they need weekly attendance or maybe daily attendance in some form. But they need to be thoroughly cleaned at times. And we need to take an examination and look, and we need to pull the mats up. We need to get in there, and we need to polish, we need to scrub. And so we can understand this analogy some more as we think about our houses and the parallels with our souls. And in our homes, what can happen? Well, we can have some trash. We can have some dust that starts to accumulate. We can have a mess. We can start to hoard. We have too many things in our lives. And we have too many things that maybe not only in the closet but in the garage, but maybe even in our living rooms or hallways, whatever it is. And things can start to get disorganized. And in our souls, there's some similarities, but it looks in the form of this. Sin could start to enter into our hearts. We have misplaced priorities. We're now influenced more by what the world thinks and practices, or we start to value the world's values, maybe more so than kingdom values. And maybe perhaps even lack some discipline as our hearts start to get disorganized or messy. Now, when we have these things, this trash, this dust, this mess, this hoarding, disorganized, what does that produce in our lives? Stress. When a house is a mess, there's some stress, isn't there? Right? You can lose some peace from this. In our home, we you know, if things are messed up, we talk about being peace breakers. You know, blessed are the peacemakers, and discipline are the peace breakers in our home. You know what I'm saying? And so when things are messed, we're like, man, the peace is gone. I don't have it anymore. I don't feel at peace. It can also produce in us really missed out opportunities for genuine fellowship. Because when a house is a mess, you don't want what? You don't want people over. Yeah, you might be a little embarrassed. You're trying to hold up a reputation. But you know it's not the same when people come over and it's like, yeah, sorry. Yeah, can you step over that? Oh, let me get this. You know, it's not the same. We had Daniel and Savannah. We were supposed to hang out with them on Friday. We're like, you know what? Let's go meet at Starbucks. And we had a great time. But there's a difference between meeting at Starbucks and meeting in the home. You guys get what I'm saying? But the same results can happen in our souls, in our hearts, and in our faith. We can crowd out God. He's supposed to reside, but we can start to crowd him out, and he's no longer dwelling in the sweet fellowship we're supposed to have with him. And so God can't live in our hearts if we have no space for him, or if there's a mess inside. God, can you just step over that sin, please? Can you just mind that? He can't dwell. He can't interact. We can't have the relationship we're designed to have when we have these things in our homes that aren't dealt with. Brothers and sisters, are you understanding what I'm saying? And it's not just our homes, but our souls, our faith. They need this because they're even more valuable than any physical or tangible thing. You know, cleaning brings some mental and really some emotional health. Right? It provides opportunities for guests and parties, for connection, for memories, for fun. When we clean, we're like, man, I feel better. I feel a sense of peace. We don't even realize it. You ever walk into your home, you're like, wow, it's in order. You're like, man, this feels good. I need to keep it this way. Right? It provides this mental and emotional health there. It provides, again, opportunities for memories to be built. Because when we have people over, there's fun, there's connection, there's depth, there's relationship. Again, when we tend to clean our hearts, our souls, it leads to emotional, mental, and spiritual health. It also leads to providing space and room for a deep connection with God and with others in our lives. Because not only do we have God in our lives, but we are called to have others in our lives as well. And we, in turn, involved in each other's lives as well. And so there's opportunities for connection, for relationship, but also transformation of our own lives and the lives of others when we spiritually start to deal with what is going on inside. Can I get an amen? And so what is required, or what is this, what would this look like? And so this is, it will require us to identify the need. And that's what we're doing today, identifying the need. We'll have to come up with a plan, and then we start to clean and declutter. And then we have to do some scrubbing, get in there, get some elbow grease and polishing. And then we need to be inviting people over. And this is what we'll be talking about for the next 4 weeks. Is we'll be going through this spring cleaning of our souls. Again, our souls in this analogy of homes, we see it clearly. And in fact, I'll refer to now our soul house for the rest of our time here in the Word. And I want to look at this passage because for me, this next passage really is the theme passage for our series. Now, we're not going to look at it every week, but for me it is, because it hits so clearly on this connection, but the opportunities and also the ramifications if we do not tend to our souls. So we're going to turn over to Matthew chapter 12, and we're going to read in Matthew 12, but I want to set you up for the context here, because there's a lot going on, and we're just going to read this short part of the passage. Earlier in the passage, Jesus healed this man who was demon-possessed. Now, his ops, those I like to call the Savior haters, they're not satisfied. And they claim that Jesus did this because he somehow is in association with the prince of demons. And Jesus is like, well, that's just foolish. Why would I cast out demons if I'm working with demons? That just doesn't make any sense. So I love Jesus just using some logic there. But then he goes and he shares some more. But these Pharisees, those are some of the religious leaders and the teachers of the law. These are some of the teachers of the religion at the time. They asked Jesus for a sign. Hey, you're saying all this stuff, but prove to us you really are who you are claiming to be. And Jesus refuses to give them one. I'm not going to give you one. And he goes on and he shares some more, but he really starts to help explain what it's like to respond to him and his good news of the gospel, and the rewards and the consequences that are there for our response to who he is. And so we take it up in verse 43. Church, are you with me here? All right, Matthew chapter 12, verse 43. He says, when an impure spirit comes out of a person, it goes through arid places seeking rest and does not find it. Then it says, I will return to the house I left. When it arrives, it finds the house unoccupied, swept clean, and put in order. Then it goes and takes with it seven other spirits more wicked than itself, and they go in and live there. And the final condition of that person is worse than the first. We'll stop right there. Now, this is an analogy. This is not doctrine on demon possession. Okay? All right? So let's just make sure that's clear, that we understand. And here, this analogy, Jesus has a lot to say. But I love this passage for many different reasons. But we see here a couple of things that stand out, at least to me personally. And it says in verse 44, it says, when it arrives, it finds the house unoccupied, swept clean, and put in order. And that stands out to me, because when we have impure, evil things in our lives, our souls and our faith, they could be a mess. Because this is what Jesus is implying, right? He's like, hey, it came back and it's clean and it's in order, implying what? That prior to his residency there, it was what? It wasn't clean and in order. And so when you and I, when we have things in our lives that are ungodly, it creates a mess. When we have maybe lies, deceit, when there's lust, selfishness, a lack of discipline, when we're consuming inappropriate media, maybe inappropriate music, inappropriate TV, when we have foul language and cuss words in our heart or even on our tongues, these things do something to our hearts. And we start to lose peace. Something isn't right. And even when we take, especially when we have the Holy Spirit, we start to realize, man, I'm not responding to life in the same ways I used to. There's an anger. Or maybe there's a quicker sense to go into a form of depression or unhealthy thinking. And we start to go down bad spirals. And we realize, man, you know, there's something wrong. Why? Because we've been corrupted and tainted. Some of us, we enjoyed some coffee out in the foyer. Or we came in, we had some water. Maybe you had some great apple juice or orange juice with your breakfast this morning. Just imagine if somebody decided, you know what, I'm going to pull some of this dirty rainwater and put it inside. You still want to drink that? No, you're like, I don't know if I want to be the test dummy for this. I don't know if I really want to experiment this way. Why? Because it's now being what? Defiled. It's being corrupted. And when the things start to accumulate in our souls, it corrupts our souls. The second thing that stands out to me is not only this idea that, hey, there's a mess prior, but cleaning is only half the job. Cleaning is only half the job. Did you see that? The demon comes in and says, oh, wait a second. This thing is, it's cleared up. Man, it's clean. You know what? But nobody's living here. Man, let me go call the homies. Hey, let's roll, homie. We got a spot that's clean. We're going to go over here and squat. It's going to be awesome. And they go in there and live there and said, the condition is worse than the first. You know, the demon can only inhabit the house, this soul, because he finds it empty. The house has been cleaned, but guess what? A new tenant hasn't taken up residence. If the demons had come back and returned to the man and they saw it occupied with the Holy Spirit, they saw Christ dwelling in there, then they wouldn't have a chance to come in and take residence. They would be kicked out. They'd be removed. You no longer live here. Sorry, but this is not available for you anymore. There's that sign like you go to the bathrooms, it says vacant or occupied. This is occupied and it's locked. You see, cleaning is only half the job. Not only do we need to deal with these things in our lives, and we need to get God's assistance, but then we need to have God take full residence in our hearts. And he needs to have sweet, vibrant fellowship with us in our hearts, in our soul houses. You get what I'm saying, church? We need to have God dwelling. He needs to not be an Airbnb, a visitor. He needs to be a permanent resident who's not just stopping by every Sunday and every Wednesday or every time the group meets, but no, he lives here. And we're in sweet fellowship. Again, God can't live in our hearts if we have no space or if there is a mess there. And so it makes me ask the question, and I believe this is the question for the hour, and it's this: how is your soul house? How is your soul house right now? Is it dirty? Is there some sin that hasn't been dealt with, unconfessed, and it has a stranglehold over your heart? Or perhaps maybe it's cluttered and disarray, in which we have no peace, there's no order, or we're hoarding things in our hearts from the world. Or maybe it's clean, but it's unoccupied. And so we might not have things that have a hold in our lives. Maybe there's some things that are cleaned out. However, Jesus isn't fully there. Maybe he's there every now and then. Or maybe he's there, and what I like to call or say, maybe we're sharing space, but we're missing connection. We're sharing the space, but we're missing a connection. My wife does my kids' hair, They do swimming, so she has to do it at nighttime. And so sometimes, daytime, nighttime, whatever it is, she'll do their hair on the couch, and they'll want to watch some of the shows that the kids want to watch. And I'm not really feeling that at that time. And so I go, well, I'm not going to watch this show. I'm going to go upstairs, and I'm going to go ahead and watch what I want to watch. And so sometimes, depending on the day, it could be a good chunk of time. And so here we are, we're sharing the same space, but there's not a deep connection taking place. And so Jesus might be in our soul houses, but there might not be a deep connection on a consistent basis. You guys get what I'm saying? Or maybe perhaps we have some vibrant fellowship. And this is where, man, we're having spiritually meals together with the Lord. We're connecting. We're having people in our lives. This doesn't mean that things are perfect, but this means that things are happening the way God designed. And I believe every one of us who are a true Christian, we've had vibrant fellowship at some point in our walk with God. And some of us, we're in that place right now, and hallelujah for that. Keep it going. Some of us, we're in maybe one of these other three categories. And the point isn't to feel sad and guilty. The point is to go, what is it? Let me identify the need, and let me start the process of some soul cleaning. I know for me, this was, I want to say last Monday. I'm having a quiet time. It's a time we spend in the Word and prayer with my wife. We do this every Monday. And so we're having this and ask the question in this little book that we're reading. And I was like, you know what? I feel like God's been telling me that, we've been, and I didn't say it this way, but I've been sharing space with God, but I've been missing connection with God. I've been doing a whole lot. I'm in the ministry, so there's constant spiritual things that I'm doing. And I'm trying to do it for the Lord. But at times I was like, man, my prayer, I just feel like I'm just praying to the ceiling. I'm not really connecting with God. I'm going through some motions. That wasn't every day, but I'm like, this is where my soul house is at. And it was freeing for God to reveal this to me. I was like, hallelujah. I'm grateful. It makes sense. And so I've tried to make some changes now to make sure that there's some depth. Really get to some cleaning. Even on my way over here is praying, God, help me see if there's any more things that need to be cleaned out that I haven't seen or recognized yet. Because why? I want God, I want others, I want my soul to have vibrant, spiritual, holy, godly fellowship. And I know every single one of us, we want that as well. So let's, as a church, let's go together in achieving this. Amen? And so what's our response to this? Well, I believe our response should be this, is to get God's help in cleaning. You know, he's the best at it. He's done a really good job for since creation at doing this. There's this really cool verse in Psalm 51. Most of us are familiar with this, but King David, he was king over the Israel people, and he royally messed up, no pun intended, all right? So he royally messed up there, and he gets some grace, some opportunity from God to have some mercy, and he responds in part with this. He says, "Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast from me your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me." He realizes, God, I need your help to deal with what's going on in my heart, in my faith, and in my soul. But there's also this understanding that he's going to join God in this good work. And so in order for us to get God's help with cleaning, some of us, the first thing we need to do is we need to make a decision to get right with God. We need to make a decision to get right with God. And that starts with admitting that your soul needs to be cleansed. Second, then discovering how you can join God in this cleaning. And then third, deciding to surrender and follow the lordship and leadership of Jesus. And for some of us, I want to encourage you, a very practical, tangible step that you could take today is make a decision to study God's word with someone so that you can understand how can God cleanse my soul. And those of us who have been studying the Bible, to move forward in your decision making and deciding to surrender to the lordship of Jesus in your life. and for others. Maybe what it is here, the call is to examine our souls. Again, we had on there on the list, how's your soul house? And you know, answering that question honestly can change not only your day, not only the rest of the week, but it can change your life and your future. Because God can do some incredible things when we join him in this good work. And so we need to be humble and listening and not just asking. I've done this. God, can you help me do this? But then as he starts to minister or people start to say things, I want to rebuff it and be like, well, that's not necessarily accurate. And I'm missing out on the opportunity that God has given me to grow. And so we need to answer honestly. We need to listen humbly. And if we're not clear, we need to seek help. Hey, brother and sister, I'm trying to figure this out. Maybe you can speak into my life from what you see. And if you're in a good place, again, let's praise God and let's keep consistently tending to our souls. Keep doing what you're doing. But if you're not in a great place, then let's get some help ASAP. Let's not waste time. Today after service finishes, let's get involved. Let's pull out. Let's pull some people into our lives to get some help. Let's get rid of the trash, the extra stuff in our hearts, and let's fill our soul houses with Jesus. Again, this is the most important thing in our lives, even more so than cleaning our physical homes. It's cleaning our souls. I would also say this. Don't let this American proverb, don't let the most urgent crowd out the most important. Some of us, we're like, oh, but there's so many things going on. I'll get to God later. The most important thing, you don't want to crowd out with what's the most urgent. You want to have God, and then you'll see that trickle-down effect in your life. So let's get real practical here. Action steps. I'd like to give us all some action steps for the week here. Take a picture, whatever it is you need to do. Write it down in your notes here. It's real simple here. We want to go ahead, and let's do this. Let's pray for God to lead you in the process of soul cleaning. God, may you lead me. May I be humble. May I listen. May you have people speak in. May it be obvious and clear. Like my wife, she used to say, make it painfully obvious. And so God, make it painfully obvious that you are leading me, that this is good, and that what will result from this is what you desire and what I ultimately desire as well. You know, the Holy Spirit lives inside of our soul houses. Those of us who have made a decision, repent and get baptized. That means we need to attend to our souls, though. And today is an opportunity to start some spring cleaning. Again, whether you're doing well, it's time to look and see. Let's get in the cracks. Let's figure out what's going on to see if there's anything that we need to attend to. But it's an opportunity for our souls to be clean and for us to have sweet fellowship with God and his people, in which we're building depth and connection, we're building memories, and we're having some fun. We're going to take communion right now, and this is the time where we reflect and we remember Jesus' death and resurrection upon the cross. And we take the emblems, the bread and the juice, representing his body and blood that was sacrificed for us. And as we take this communion, we remember that his death and resurrection is the only way that we can have the Holy Spirit dwell in us, but we can have our souls cleansed for eternity. I want to close out in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 19. It reads, therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart, and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for the soul cleansing that took place and gives us the opportunity when Jesus not only died, but when he rose from the grave. We thank you, God, that you have cleansed us from a guilty conscience. God, we thank you that would clear the way so that the Holy Spirit could dwell within us. We thank you that Jesus came, that he lived a perfect life, and that he stayed upon the cross. We thank you that he persevered. We thank you again that he's the example and that he calls us to this soul cleansing. And Father, I pray that through the next several weeks, God, that we will be listening and attending to our souls and in connection with you, providing opportunities for sweet fellowship in our souls the way you designed it. Again, we know that all of this is through and from and by the power of grace shown through Jesus and his sacrifice. It's in his name we pray. Amen.